Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, here on KKZZ AM 1400, this positive talk radio for Ventura County. You can also listen to us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you'll want to remember that number because at the bottom of the hour, half hour, we're going to have a giveaway for some free sandwiches from Urbane Cafe. So the number again is 639-0008. Every show has a theme. And today's theme is strategy. My first guest analyzes and writes about it. My second guest actually implemented strategies to outsmart an entire government. My first guest has been featured on PBS, and she's called the Susie Orman of strategy. She takes a unique approach to strategy in the 21st century by using a framework from a 13th century Welsh nobleman who built a castle for protection. She uses fresh and relevant real-life examples to make this concept come alive. Erica Anderson is the founding partner of Proteus International, a coaching, consulting, and training firm that helps client organizations clarify and move towards their hoped-for goals. She serves as a coach and an advisor for senior executives in such companies as MTV Networks, General Electric, NBC Universal, and more and more. She's the author of two books. Her latest book is titled Being Strategic, Plan for Success, Outthink Your Competitors, and Stay Ahead of Change. Welcome to the show, Erica. How are you today?
I'm great, and what a great introduction. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, heck, you deserve it. You've done some wonderful things in your career, so very proud to have you on the show. So let's dig right into it, shall we, Erica?
Yeah.
In what ways has the recent economic downturn been good for strategy and strategic thinking?
Well, I think it makes being strategic in the way we talk about it more necessary, but I think it also makes it more likely that people won't be strategic, because one of the things that happens when there are difficult times is that there's a sort of a normal human reaction, a fear reaction, really, to just sort of pull in your horns, you know, get down in your hunker down and, you know, pull the covers over you, kind of. And that's sort of the opposite of being strategic. In order to be strategic, you really have to stand up, take a breath, pull back the camera. And, you know, early on in the book, well, let me back up. Often people talk about being strategic. You know, everybody I know has been in a meeting the last 6 months where somebody has said, we need to be more strategic. Unfortunately, nobody ever defines what they mean, and people have lots of different definitions for it. So I start out the book by offering a definition and saying, well, so how about this? How about if being strategic means consistently focusing on those core directional choices that will best move you toward your hoped-for future? And in order to do that, you have to kind of rise out of your own fear and do some simple things, simple but not necessarily easy things. You have to get clear on the challenge you're trying to address, figure out where you're starting from relative to that challenge, look to the future, you know, pull back, look to the future, say, where, if we address this challenge, where will we be in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and then create a path to get there, first strategically and then tactically. So back to your original question, doing it is even more important now than ever, because if people are starting to get their business back on the right track or their lives, and they don't want to go back into a ditch, they have to look really clearly at, okay, where am I? Where do I want to take myself or my business or my family? And how am I going to get there? So I think it's critically important at a time like this.
Well, I would agree with you, Erica. And you would think that at a time like this, when everything is going down the drain, that you would take that step back and evaluate it, because business as usual no longer is working for most
Precisely.
People. But yeah. you're saying that even in face of all of this, the fear reaction wells up inside of us, and instead of taking that deep breath, we're just going to continue to go ahead doing the same sorts of things we've done in the past?
Well, it's certainly a possibility, and it's sort of like we're at a fork in the road. We can all just kind of run screaming into the, you know, bunker, or we can say, hold up, let's take charge of our own lives, of our own destiny. It is different. Business is different. So many things have changed. Even before the recession, I wrote an article the other day for Forbes.com, and I was talking about how there's so much different in the last 5 or 10 years. I mean, I'll pick out 2 or 3 things. The media landscape, completely changing. Is it television? Is it computers? Who knows? Where's it going? Are we going to watch everything on our computers? And that's having huge upheaval in that whole segment of society. The expectations of younger workers, of workers in their 20s and 30s, is so different than the expectations of workers in their 40s and 50s and 60s about the balance of life they want to create, about the role that work plays in their life. Very different than 10 or 15 years ago. And then on top of this, you have this whole economic, quote-unquote downturn, but which seems to me to be really much bigger than a downturn. It's a big shift, and it may be a huge shift in terms of, where the profit is coming from and how you operate your business, all kinds of things. So it seems to me that now, for a whole bunch of reasons and more than ever, it's really essential to be more strategic about your life and your career and your relationships and your business.
We're talking to Erica Anderson, everybody, author of the book Being Strategic. It's just out in paperback. It's a fascinating read. And I have to ask you, as I ask most authors that come on the show, what did you get out of writing this book, Erica?
Oh, I love that question. Well, as you mentioned earlier, it's the second book I've written. I wrote a book that came out in the early 2007 called Growing Great Employees. That's sort of I think of it as kind of the Boy Scout handbook for people managers. And with both books, and now also with this public television show that I've done around being strategic, my goal is always to help people become who they want to become. And I personally and my company has various ways of doing that, and that's really what I wanted to have happen in this book. This is a process, a way to approach being strategic that we've used in my company for many years with, some of the big companies you mentioned, and also with individuals. Often we work with individual executives on their kind of personal vision and strategy for their whole lives. And, I figured if I wrote a book, there were many, many thousands of people who would get the help of what I think is this very useful process without ever meeting me or talking to me or having to hire my company. So I just wanted to spread the help more broadly.
Well, I love it. And we're talking to Erica Anderson. You've got a wonderful 5-step methodology that you outline in the book. So let's go through those 5 steps, and then I'm going to ask you at the end, we're going to get some concrete examples from you. So we're going to put some picks and shovels into the hands of those people listening to our voices
wonderful.
Right now. But let's start with the 5-step process. What are the 5 steps, and how do you go about accomplishing each of the 5?
Okay. Well, the first one is kind of a pre-step. We talk about defining the challenge, that if you're going to be strategic about any situation, you have to first figure out what's the problem you're trying to solve. And people quite often don't do that. In fact, I'd say much more often than not, they don't do it. And in business, what that results in is what I call dueling solutions, where you have a meeting and people are just sort of like, marketing their own solutions. And what's the problem? We don't really know, but we don't care. We just like our solutions, And it devolves pretty quickly into people trying to solve very different problems that they haven't even talked about yet. So the first step in this process is, what are you solving for? And we have very simple, first, what are the core things that aren't working? Like in your business, maybe the core thing is that you've lost market share, huge amount of market share over the last 5 years.
Okay.
So then you flip that into a how can I or how can we statement. And maybe the other thing is, you feel like your team has kind of fallen apart over this last year or two, that people are really afraid and you've lost some good people. So maybe the core challenge question for this business person, would be, how can I regain market share and rebuild my team so that the business is successful? Okay, great. Now we've defined the problem. And that's sort of the starting point.
All right.
So
now,
if you have that, oh, sorry.
No, that's all right, Erica. I think clarifying the problem is a very important step. Why is it that most people overlook and don't do that step? It seems so very fundamental.
What I believe is true is that most people go into a situation, they don't bring to their conscious awareness, they jump straight to solution.
Mm-hmm.
They say, wow, we really need to, like in the situation that we've just talked about, something, you know, let's say there's the CEO and then there's his or her direct reports, and they all come to the meeting thinking they understand what the problem is, never having consciously gone through this little exercise. And so maybe one person thinks, you know, the problem is that we have to work on morale, you know, but they don't even think that consciously. They just come in with solutions about how to build morale. So they just kind of jump over it. We have this tendency to want to solve, so we just go to solution without really getting clear about what the problem is that we're trying to solve. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and it kind of leads me to a question that I was going to ask you later, so I'm going to bump it up here. And that is, our own personal biases give us these preconceived beliefs about how we're going to solve the problem. So how do you get beyond the biases and really focus in on what is the core problem?
Okay, well then, now to... I'll see you one and raise you one. Since you've bumped up that question, I'll bump up an answer. So as we go through this, you know, four-step process with this pre-step, so five steps altogether,
mm-hmm.
that we try to help people learn three mental skills that are core to being strategic at all, to this whole idea of focusing on core choices and moving toward your hopeful future. And the first one, to your point, we call being a fair witness. And where I got that, I stole it from Robert Heinlein. I don't know if you've ever...
Oh, Robert Heinlein, the science fiction writer, just passed away recently.
And he wrote a book called Stranger in a Strange Land.
Mm.
And in the book, it's a fascinating book. The protagonist is this guy who's been raised on Mars. He's a human, but he's been raised on Mars. So the whole book is about him learning how to be a human, you know, an earthling. And one of the things that Heinlein posits in this book is a profession called being a fair witness, called fair witness. And at one point in the book, this guy is trying to explain to the protagonist, Michael Valentine, what a fair witness is. And so he has a woman who is a fair witness. He asks her to go put on her fair witness robes. And she comes back, and she's wearing this long white robe. And he says, are you now a fair witness? Meaning, are you in fair witness mode? Are you in your professional capacity? She says, yes. So he points to a distant house up on a hill, and he says, what color is that house? And she says, it appears to be painted white on this side. And that's what a fair witness does. The job of a fair witness is to, as objectively and neutrally as possible, report what he or she observes.
I love it. We're talking to Erica Anderson, everybody. She's the author of the book, Being Strategic. We just learned right here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, she stole the concept of fair witness from Robert Heinlein. Erica, we've got a break for some commercials, but when we come back, I want to continue on with your five-step process. We'll be back after these short breaks.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You are listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is strategy. My first guest is Erica Anderson. She literally has written the book on strategy. The book is titled Being Strategic, Plan for Success, Outthink Your Competitors, and Stay Ahead of the Game. And before we went away to break, we were talking about her simple but very effective five-step process for being strategic. And we had gotten through the first step, clarifying the problem, Erica. So let's pick it up with the second, third, fourth, and fifth steps.
Okay, great. So once you're clear about what the problem is that you're trying to solve, whether it's I want to find my soulmate, or I want to bring my business back to, you know, 100%, or I want to take my family on vacation, whatever it is, then the first thing you need to do is look at where you are starting from relative to that problem. So what's your current state? And if you think of, I love to visualize it. That's why I use the Welsh castle thing. So if you think of the challenge as kind of the hill you're trying to climb, where are you starting from relative to that hill? Are you halfway up already, or are you 6 miles away? That's important. It's important to know how much of a schlep it's going to be, right?
Well, now, Erica, let me just stop you right there and ask you, but if you're halfway up the hill, you've already been somewhat strategic because you've gotten halfway up the hill. You'd usually think of being strategic of being at the bottom of the hill and needing to climb the whole thing, don't you?
Yeah, except what you've brought up is a really good point, is that this is one of the things that I think I'm different. And, you know, you said at the beginning, a wonderful friend of mine, Nancy Tellum, ran CBS for many years, called me the Susie Orman of being strategic, of strategy. And I believe what she meant by that is that I've made it accessible and I've made it kind of real world. That a lot of people think of strategy or being strategic as you hire some person with a bunch of degrees to be the strategic planner, but really it's just a way of approaching your life. So people tend to be more or less strategic. So by the time you get conscious about a problem, if your wiring is to be fairly strategic to begin with, you might be halfway up the hill. You might have already kind of been wandering toward a good solution. And this just helps you get clearer about what the hill is, what you have left to do, what that castle is going to look like at the top of the hill when you get there.
Gotcha. All right. Good. So understand where you are relative to the problem. That's step two.
Yeah. And then the third step is, and it's really important to have an accurate sense of your starting point when you do this. The third step is, what's that castle that you want to build on top of the hill? What would it look and feel and sound and act like if you had solved your problem, if you had addressed your challenge? We were talking earlier about a family vacation. So what would the ideal family vacation look like for you? So maybe your challenge question is, how can we have a really great vacation that everyone in the family enjoys? Mom, dad, the kids, the baby, everybody in the family enjoys the vacation. So what would that look and feel and sound like? And you'll notice it's important to know where you're starting from, because how much money you have, how much time you have, where you are geographically, all those things are important in order for your castle to be what I call a reasonable aspiration.
All right. We're talking to Erica Anderson, everybody. And Erica, I'm going to ask you a question, because other guests have come on the show and they've talked about a technique of looking backwards from the future and using that to define the present and getting you to where you want to be. So how could you look back from the future, say after that vacation is over, and sort of translate that into the perfect vacation for your entire family?
I'm not sure I'm understanding what your question is.
Let me rephrase the question and ask it a different way if I can. Again, people say, all right, think of the job as being completed. Think of you have finished your vacation, and now you're looking back over the photos of the vacation and reminiscing as to why it was so perfect.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And that's going to help you to create the vacation that's perfect for the entire family.
And the way we approach it is somewhat similar to that, but there's a slight difference. We say rather than imagine that it's completed, we say imagine that you're there. Put yourself right in the middle of it. You know, advance your time machine to, if your vacation is next July, say, okay, it's next July. We're there. We're on it. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? And that, it has a, it's the same part of your brain, but either doing that, it's done, look back, or doing that, put yourself into it, it sort of bypasses the part of your brain that gets in the way of your ability to vision. So either one of those techniques, I suspect, would work. We tend to do it the way I talked about. So once you've done that, so that's the second step of the process, sort of what's the hope. Then the third step is what's in the way. So if you're standing at the bottom of the hill and castle's up there on the top, that's what you want to achieve, that's your perfect vacation or your perfect business or your perfect relationship, what are the trolls on the side of the hill? What are the obstacles that you're going to have to jump over to get up there? That's really important. And again, that's a thing that requires fair witnessing, because human beings tend to either over or underestimate the size of obstacles that are facing them. It's important to be accurate so you know how to get around them.
Okay, great. So that's
the last. Oh, sorry.
No. That's all right. We're going to the same place. The last step is?
The last step is what's the path? So how are you then? You've got the whole thing. Got the hill. Where am I starting from? What's the castle? Where are the trolls? Now, what is the path that I'm going to build to get from where I am to the castle? And the first part of that path is strategy. Those core directional choices. They're sort of big intentional statements about how you're going to use your energy. And then tactics are the specific actions that you use to fill in that pathway to implement those strategies. And I'll give you a great example. It's in the book. It's a historical example. FDR, the New Deal, early 30s, one of the strategies of the New Deal was get immediate help to those who need it most. And I love that as an example of strategy, because it's not a specific action. It's a statement of intent, right? We're going to get immediate help to those who need it most. And then one of the tactics that they used to implement that strategy is they created something that came to be called the food stamp plan, which still exists 80 years later as a way to get food quickly through existing distribution systems to needy families.
Cool. All right. Well, most of us are not FDR. Most of us are not the leaders of the free world and kind of leading a country out of the Great Depression. So
Right. Let's
take your five steps, and let me just recap them. Let's clarify the problem, understand where you are starting relative to the problem, write a clear vision for the future, identify the obstacles in the way, and then determine the path to get you there. So let's take that, and you've worked a lot in the past with media companies, MTV Networks, General Electric, which is the owner, was the owner of NBC Universal. So let's talk about a media company. They're looking for new advertisers. They're looking for new sponsors. Let's put your five steps to work for a media company. How would that look?
Well, this is fascinating because just last week I worked with the advertising sales division of one of our media clients. So this is perfect. I have an actual example. How can we question was the problem they were trying to solve is how can we take best advantage of the world, as they call it, the world beyond 30s and 60s. So beyond 30-second spots, 60-second spots, you know, the advanced advertising stuff that's available. And they got very clear about where they were starting out relative to it. They have some advertisers who are really ahead of the curve and are doing a lot of things with interactive TV and online, and, you know, that's great. So they have some of that. And then they have some advertisers who really, they want to go beyond 30s and 60s, but they're sort of stuck. And then the vision that they created for themselves 3 years out was it's a full-service buffet where everything an advertiser wants is available to them. They can just do a regular standard 30 or 60-second spot. They can do product placement. They can do sponsoring a whole show. They can have all kinds of online and interactive components. They really got very clear about that vision for the future. And then they realized that the core obstacles to that vision were some of them were technical. They're still developing the technology for some of these, so there are some obstacles to doing that there. And the other was just, back to the fair witness thing, was just the attitudes of some advertisers who are still really skittish about this kind of new world of interactive advanced advertising.
Well, what about the advertisers?
The path, how to get there.
Okay, I understand that. And one of the obstacles is the attitude of the advertisers. What about the attitude of the advertisers in general towards advertising, particularly on television, network television?
The attitude of consumers?
No, not consumers, but the advertisers themselves. They're beginning to feel that advertising is not as powerful as it once was.
Yes, and gosh, this goes right back to what we were talking about at the beginning. There's a fear reaction, and there's a what are we going to do about it reaction. And the fear reaction is some advertisers just hunker down and say, well, we're just going to stick to the tried and true and do 30s and 60s, even though everybody's advancing through them on their DVRs. And other people are saying, okay, it's a brave new world. We have to connect with the consumers more deeply, more personally. And those advertisers are really looking to alternatives like interactive TV and like sponsorship of a whole program.
Got it. We're talking to Erica Anderson, everybody, author of the book, Being Strategic, Plan for Success, Outthink Your Competitors, Stay Ahead of the Change. Erica, we've only got a couple of minutes left. So I want to ask you, in your book, you really differentiate between being strategic for individuals and being strategic for teams. Can you break that down for us? How is being strategic for a team different than being strategic for just yourself?
Well, fortunately, in our experience, the process itself, these five steps and these three mental skills, it's exactly the same. So the reason I divided the book, in effect, in half, with the first half being, you know, how to be strategic for yourself, is just it's a great and simple way for people to learn the model, to apply it to something that's important to them, whether it's getting a new job or finding a relationship. And then the second half, we add in the things that are important in order to do this process with a team. Like, for instance, I told you recently, I've done this public television show, which just started airing, and they have a DVD of it, and they asked us to do some bonus material. And part of the bonus material is about self-talk, which you and I talked about earlier, and part of it is about how to get a team interested in doing this process.
Because
that's
that?
One of the big differences is you might be all gung-ho, but how do you tee it up for people in a way that it feels interesting and that they're motivated to do it with you?
It's great. We're talking to Erica Anderson, everybody. She's the author of the book, Being Strategic, Plan for Success, Outthink Your Competitors, Stay Ahead of the Change. And Erica, you're also an avid blogger. If people want to learn more, read some of your blogs, where would you direct them?
Well, fortunately, it's very simple. I blog at ericaanderson.com.
Erica Anderson. You want to spell that because it is an unusual spelling of
yeah.
Anderson.
It's E-R-I-K-A-A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N.
ericaanderson.com. And your book, Being Strategic, it's just now out in paperback. Where can people find your book if they're interested in reading more?
Pretty much anywhere. Amazon, anywhere online. A lot of Barnes & Nobles and Borders have it. And also starting in about 2 weeks, the DVD of the public television show will be available in the same places.
Oh, that is great. Congratulations, Erica. I think it's just terrific what you're doing, not only for public television, but in your books and in your consulting work as well. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you. This was great, Billy. I really appreciate it.
We'll be talking to you down the road, Erica.